afternoon. We'll be continuing our study of the book of Habakkuk today. And our text is taken from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 20. And let us read this responsively. I shall begin. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his? How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? For thou shalt be for booties unto them. Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory, drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein, to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! To the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach! Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Together, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Let's pray. Gracious God, author of everlasting life, true happiness comes from you alone. Help us never to expect any happiness from the world. As we step into another Sunday of our life, help us not to think that we shall be more happy living unto ourselves. But let us give ourselves to you, to be usefully employed for you. Teach us that the only life that satisfies is a life that satisfies you. Today, by your grace, we learn another portion of your word. Teach us now what you will have us to learn. Your servants, hear us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we have considered under Worshipping the Net, Roman numeral 1, Habakkuk's ministry. We have also seen, letter A, his era, and letter B, his identity. We have also considered Roman numeral 2, Habakkuk's first dilemma. Habakkuk began his book with a twofold question. First, why did God seem so silent? Habakkuk cried out to God, but he did not answer his prophet. Second, why did God seem so distant? Habakkuk begged God to deliver those who suffered violence, but God did not save. To Habakkuk, who viewed reality from the human perspective, God appeared to be indifferent, inactive, and insensitive. Gone were the blissful days of obedience under King Josiah. One of his successors, either Jehoahaz or more likely Jehoiakim, now sat on the throne. Corruption abounded and lawlessness prevailed. Everywhere Habakkuk looked, he saw plundering, violence, strife, and conflict. Habakkuk wanted to know why God tolerated the sins of his people. Habakkuk could not endure the situation. So why would God? In short, the question was, letter A, question, is God indifferent to sin? God replied to Habakkuk's question, and in so doing, he spoke to the prophet and the nation. God asked Habakkuk to look beyond the troubles within Judah and see what was taking place on the international scene. God was about to accomplish his will, and it would be hard for Habakkuk and his people to believe, even though God would tell them directly. In particular, God's answer was, letter B, answer, God will use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. He will raise up the Chaldeans, a ruthless and hastily impatient nation. They will march throughout the entire region and possess houses that belong to others. We then considered Roman numeral 3, Habakkuk's second dilemma. Habakkuk's second dilemma. At first, Habakkuk had a problem with God's apparent indifference to the sin of Judah. God's answer to Habakkuk's initial question causes the prophet to ask another. Why would God use the Chaldeans to punish Judah when they were even more wicked than the people of Judah? Letter A, question, why would God use the more wicked Chaldeans? This afternoon, we will look at God's answer to Habakkuk. We will look at how the Lord would respond to Habakkuk's second dilemma. Letter B, answer, live by faith. Answer, live by faith. This is in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. The Lord will respond to Habakkuk's dilemma. But first, God prepared the prophet for his forthcoming answer. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 reads, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." God would respond by way of a vision, and he commanded Habakkuk to write the vision plainly on tables or tablets, so that running messengers would be able to deliver it from place to place. Chapter 2, verse 2. God also prepared Habakkuk to observe two kinds of individuals. Verse 4. First, God pointed out the proud man whose soul is lifted up. The soul of the proud man is not upright within him. Second, God pointed out the just man who lives by faith. God's point. Proud people second guess God's actions. Just people may question why God did what he did, but they will always trust him. They may not understand, but their faith remains steadfast. God's ways are not man's ways. His answers to our questions may not satisfy us, but we simply must let God be God. But that is only the first half of God's reason why he will use the more wicked Chaldeans to punish the wicked people of Judah. There is a second half of God's answer to Habakkuk's question. Let us see. Answer, God will destroy the Chaldeans. Answer, God will destroy the Chaldeans. This is in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 5 to 20. Do you know what is a halftime show? A halftime show is a performance given during the brief period between the first and second halves, or the second and third quarters of a sporting event. Halftime shows are not given for sports with an irregular or indeterminate number of divisions, such as baseball or boxing, or for sports that do not have an extended period of stoppage in play. Ice hockey games consist of three periods, so there are in fact two half times at a hockey game. The first intermission is between the first and second periods, and the second intermission comes between the second and third periods. Here is a halftime show at a football game between Frisco High and Centennial. And here is a group of high school marching bands performing at the halftime show of the 2006 Chick-fil-A Bowl. Now, during a high school halftime show, a father sitting behind on the bench seats boasted, "That's my son!" The boy who had been playing the trumpet solo so well up until that point then proceeded to make many mistakes. "Well," came the voice behind, "maybe not. They all look alike from up here." The father identified the trumpet player as his son, but only when he was playing well. But we are not talking about halftime shows here. We are talking about the second half. The second half of God's answer to Habakkuk's question of why God would use the more wicked Chaldeans. God envisioned the Chaldean Empire from God's perspective, chapter 2, verses 5 to 20. God was not ignorant of their iniquities. He was fully aware of their sins of greed, violence, and idolatry. Number one, destruction for their greed. Destruction for their greed. This is in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. The Chaldeans satisfied their every greed, living in overindulgence. God, Habakkuk envisioned them transgressing with their wine, chapter 2, verse 5. They were proud people that did not stay at home within their own borders, but enlarged their territories. They were never satisfied with the extent of their military conquest, and in that regard, they were insatiable like hell and death. They could never subdue enough nations or peoples. The reason the Chaldeans were never satisfied with their conquests was that people are never satisfied with the stuff of this world. They always want more. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 20 says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Habakkuk looked forward to the time when those whom the Chaldeans had overpowered would take up a proverb against their old enemy. These vanquished peoples of the Near East would sing in taunt, "Woe to him that increaseth." Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 6. Habakkuk anticipated the day when those who had been plundered by the Chaldeans would turn and plunder them. The day of Chaldeans' destruction would come suddenly. as nations under their dominion would awake to their senses and recover the treasures of Babylon for their own booty. Verse 7. Chaldea had made enemies of many nations, and they had shed much blood in the country, land in verse 8, and in the city. The happiness they sought through bloodshed would come to fruition. The Chaldeans had plundered the other nations in order to fortify their own city of Babylon. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 9. Under Nebuchadnezzar, they had fortified their capital city with strong double walls and a network of tall towers. And Habakkuk likened this to a bird's nest high in the air. The Chaldeans hoped that their fortifications would deliver them from military defeats. Evil in verse 9. Bulwarks of this magnitude required much manpower and money. The Chaldeans stole the money from other nations and enslaved many of their people. They did this to their own shame, verse 10. Habakkuk envisioned the stones and timbers that composed the fortifications and buildings of Babylon as bearing witness against the shameful way that they had been constructed, verse 11. The vision took an eerie twist, with these stones and timbers crying out to each other. Indeed, it was proving to be a vision of judgment. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 11 reads, "For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam of the timber shall answer it." Number 2, destruction for their violence. Destruction for their violence. This is in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. The vision changed smoothly from the building projects of the Chaldeans into their violence. They built their towns and cities with bloodshed and iniquity, verse 12. The phrase blood, sweat, and tears had literal meaning for the Chaldean Empire. They had murdered people in unnecessary battles fought out of greed, and they had enslaved many of the survivors of their conquests. At this point, Habakkuk's vision turned from the Chaldeans toward the Lord of hosts, verse 13. In doing so, Habakkuk acquired a completely different perspective. The Chaldeans thought their building projects were magnificent. Nebuchadnezzar himself has said in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" From God's perspective, however, their undertakings were all in vanity. No sooner had they finished their labors than they were consumed in fire. Recalling Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9, Habakkuk caught a glimpse of a kingdom that would not be temporary like that of the Chaldeans. He looked into the distant future and envisioned the millennial kingdom. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 reads, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." How does Habakkuk envision the millennial kingdom? The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory, like waters cover the sea. Habakkuk's vision then turned away from the Lord and back to the violence of the Chaldeans. This time, he envisioned their violence in terms of getting one's neighbor drunk in order to see him naked. Verse 15. The Chaldeans violently treated their neighboring nations to brutal indignities, a shame of the highest order. The Chaldeans would find themselves treated in the same way that they had treated others. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 15 to 16 reads, "Woe unto him, that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory, drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. Chaldea tried to gain glory by acting as a bully. What did they actually gain for themselves? Shame. Habakkuk envisioned the Chaldean Empire as a disgraceful, naked drunk. This would all come about when God turned his right hand and poured out his cup of judgment against the Chaldeans. God would punish Chaldea for the violent way that he treated Lebanon, verse 17. Lebanon, a country situated to the north of Israel, was famous for its tall cedar trees and many wild beasts. The Chaldeans had chopped down many of the cedars in order to build their palaces and temples, and they had indiscriminately killed many animals in the forests. God would punish them for their violence against nature, but especially for their violence against humanity. They had barbarously mistreated people in the countryside, land in verse 17, in the cities, and in between. We have the destruction for their greed. We have the destruction for their violence. We have the, number three, destruction for their idolatry. Destruction for their idolatry. And Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 18 to 20 reads, "What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, Awake! To the dumb stone, Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." How does Habakkuk describe the Chaldeans' idols? Mute, silent, breathless. The Chaldeans not only built walls and buildings, they also fashioned many idols, verse 18. Idols are worthless, for whether they are carved, graven, in verse 18, or made from a mold, molten, in the same verse. The result is the same. Images are speechless, dumb, in verse 18 again. But even though they are speechless, idols still teach lies because people are deceived and misled into vanity. For a craftsman to fashion an idol and then worship the work of his own hands is senseless. Judgment will come upon those who proclaim of the wood and stone idols, "Awake and arise, it shall teach," verse 19. Even though the images presented shiny gold and silver coverings, they had no life. In stark contrast, the Lord is very much alive and in charge, ruling the earth from his holy temple in heaven. The whole earth is commanded to keep silent before the awesome presence of the living Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 20 reads, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Why should all the earth keep silent before the Lord? God is on the throne and has all things under his control. Therefore, people should stand in awe of him and be ready to do his will. Habakkuk's ministry. Habakkuk's first dilemma and Habakkuk's second dilemma. In particular, under Habakkuk's second dilemma, Habakkuk asked why God would use the more wicked Chaldeans to punish the wicked people of Judah. We learned the first half of God's reason why He would do so. God told Habakkuk that even though people do not always understand His ways, they should still trust in Him. Then we learned the second half of God's answer to Habakkuk's question. God explained to His prophet that He would destroy the Chaldeans for the sins of greed, violence, and idolatry. What are some examples of times when Christians don't understand what God is doing? Perhaps times of illness, the unexpected death and loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, job uncertainty, physical pain. Are you facing such situations? Situations in which you don't understand what God is doing? God told Habakkuk that proud people second-guess God's actions. Just people may question why God did what He did, but they will always trust Him. They may not understand, but their faith remains steadfast. Therefore, I would like to encourage you to trust God. The just shall live by His faith. Faith is the grand principle of the divine life from first to last. By faith we are justified, and by faith we live. By faith we stand, and by faith we walk. From the starting post to the goal of the Christian course, it is all by faith. Charles Henry McIntosh.